We are delighted to have with us this morning church planters Alex and Brooke Graves. Now, you may be familiar at least with Alex and Brooke's names if you haven't met them personally, because we have supported them for a number of years as our missionary representatives on the University of Kansas campus through Chi Alpha. But they are at a transition point. God's put something new in their heart, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity for Alex and Brooke just to share what God is doing. I've known Alex for a number of years and his folks for even longer. And I know I'm getting to that point in my ministry where I say, well, I knew these kids' parents for years and years, you know. But Richard and Christy Graves have been dear friends of ours through the years and have had beautiful ministries in Kansas and in the state of Missouri. And Alex and Brooke, it's just great to have you guys here. And I want you to help me welcome them as only Jefferson Assembly can. Come on, help me.
It is a pleasure, it's a pleasure to be with you. And, when you get to be in ministry, I've been in ministry now for almost a decade, which is hard to believe. And you have people that come into your path and you're just grateful for them. And how many of you ever had somebody just walk into your path and you're like, thank you God for that. And your pastor is actually that guy for me. And, about 9 months ago, I think it is now, he started really pouring into my life and, it's been one of the greatest ministry experiences to have somebody just pour into you. If you've never had that, you need to do that. If you've never had somebody just pour into you, give you advice, somebody you can call and say, hey, I think I'm getting ready to make a dumb decision. Please tell me not to do this. I think I've made that call a few times in the last few months. I'm so grateful for your pastor, and he has meant a lot. He, more than you're ever going to know, I really appreciate everything you've done. And but my wife is with me today, my wife Brooke, and we have, as Pastor said, we've been in Chi Alpha for the last 8 years. As crazy as that sounds, it's been that long. But we've been transitioning over the last few months from being Chi Alpha missionaries to being church planters. And we're going to go into this and unpack this over the next probably 15, 20 minutes. But I just am grateful for my wife. And she travels with me quite often. And she's the rock of our home, keeps the kids. And actually, two of our kids are here. One's in children's church. My oldest, Aiden, back there is waving his hand. And I think there's a picture. And then Bentley, who's the boss of our home. And if you've ever had a five-year-old, when your youngest is a daughter, yeah, they just think they're in control of everything. And so it's awesome to have. And then my middle son, Easton, he played 3 basketball games yesterday. So if you see him walking around and he's kind of just like being, you know, really slow and methodical, it's because he's never played 3 basketball games in one day before. And I've only done that a few times in my life and regretted it immediately after. And but I also have my mom and my younger sister with me here today. It's so awesome to have you here, Mom. I love you. And my dad was supposed to be here. But he's trying to keep their basement from flooding because of all the rain and everything. So, but it's been an incredible journey over these last several months, transitioning to church planting. Pray with us. Tonight we have our first interest social for people who are interested in being a part of our church plant. We have close to 30 or 35 people coming to our home tonight, who a year ago had no idea God was going to even have a church plant coming into Lawrence. And now here a year later, man, they're going to be in our home hearing about our heart, hearing about what God's going to do in our community. But turn with me in your Bible to Luke 5, and we're just going to dive right in. Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, and it's up on the screen, I believe. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now we're going to stop right there for just a second. Are there any fishermen in the house? Anybody like to fish? Got one? Got several? Yeah. God bless you. I am not a fisherman. I've been fishing twice in my life, and I think David knows this story because we talk about it all the time. I've been fishing twice, and both times I only caught 1 perch. My hand was bigger than the fish I caught. So you spend 8 hours out all day in the boat, and what happens? I don't even get to keep anything. It's like all the work with no results. It's like going to work every day and not getting a paycheck for being there. How many of you would enjoy that? I'm sure your boss would be like, yeah, 40 hours, you want to volunteer your time? Yeah, come on, I could use that, right? You would hate that, right? I'd be like, for me, that's been fishing. There's things that I can just like, man, I would I like to hunt. I like to play golf. I like to play sports. I mean, there's a lot of things I like to do. But imagine going out all day on the water and catching nothing. And then some crazy guy who you've never met before strolls onto your boat and starts preaching and then says, go back out and go fish again. How many of you would look at them like, you are crazy? Right? Would that be your response? I've been out all day. Jesus, don't you know the effort I've put in already? I mean, that's how I would feel. It's like I've seen no results. But for some reason, what does Peter say? Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Think of the obedience that is. Think of the ability to just be able to put yourself aside, because the reality is Peter probably wanted to go home. Most of us, if we work a long day, the last thing we think about is staying longer. The only people who enjoy overtime are the ones who get paid extra to be there in the overtime. And if you're not a salaried worker, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's okay. When they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, I don't know much about catching fish in this manner, but if there is so many fish in the nets that they began to break, I don't even want to know how many pounds of fish that is. What I do know, after some consulting of a friend of mine who would understand this, the process of cleaning nets in this day was not just a 30-minute, like, scrub down the bottom hole of your boat. This took time. It took effort. It took energy. So not only were their nets cleaned already, then they go back out and they catch so many that the nets they had just spent so much time cleaning are now breaking. Some of us would be incredibly frustrated. If you're like a task-oriented person like me, it's like, Jesus, couldn't you have come before we started scrubbing the nets? Couldn't you have just shown up like 10 or 15 or 20 minutes early? I mean, right? It's like, why did you have to come after? But their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come help them. And they came and filled their boats so full that they began to sink. So now their nets are breaking and their boats are sinking. And here's Peter like, okay, Jesus, yeah, this is cool. I mean, how many of you would love to have been in a boat that day? I mean, have you ever just like read through the New Testament, heard Peter, and like walked through Peter's story and been like, I wish I could have been Peter. I mean, his nets broke. He about was in a sinking ship on his boat. He got to walk on water. I mean, that's a full life right there. You could put that on my tombstone. My nets broke, my ship sank, and I walked on water. I mean, you're just set. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. And I want to emphasize this. Left everything. And I want everyone to get this. Obedience positions you for favor and for blessing. Obedience positions you for favor and for blessing. Think about what Peter gave up that day. The catch of his life, he let sit on the shore. Now, I don't know much about fishing. I know enough to probably get myself in trouble to the point my father-in-law won't even let me take out his fishing boat without him there. But what I do know is just about every time I have a friend who catches a big fish, the first place it goes is where? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Peter had this crazy catch, the catch probably he will never experience again on water, and he left it sitting on the shore. For who? Not only to leave it for Jesus, he left it for his competitors, the people he was fishing for. So here's all these fish. You know they didn't just go to waste. I mean, it's a very different society than we live in today. But not only did Jesus get blessed, so did the people who Peter was trying to fish against and with. They found blessing as well. So Peter's obedience not only blessed him, it blessed the people he probably really didn't get along with that well. But when you leave everything, when you give it all up, when you really let Jesus come into your boat and really have command of your life, not only do you get blessed, but so do the people around you. What about Peter's wife? We don't read about her very much. He gave it all up to follow Jesus. Number two, always have your nets ready. Because you never know when Jesus is going to show up on the scene. You see, there's times, and I understand that, you know, we have to have this idea of, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? And there's times God's going to come in and he's going to rock your boat. And I think the reality is for most of us, if we were really honest with ourselves, the idea of change is scary. The idea of something new is risky. And you know, we started really praying about this church planning adventure, and had this 9-hour assessment we had to sit through. It feels like they know every part of your life and then some. It's like, you know, they know you better than your parents. It's somewhat crazy. And we walked away from that and it's like, God, we know you're in this. And one of the things they told us is like, man, Alex and Brooke, you guys really embrace change. But the reality is we really don't. Because once we make the change, then it's like, oh my goodness, God, what did you just do? How many of you ever made a decision and like 5 minutes later you're like, you wish somebody would have just said, hey, don't be a dummy. Been there? It's like you go buy an $80,000 car on a $10,000 a year salary. Yes, somebody should have told you that's a bad idea. We have a student in one of our ministries right now who's $40,000 in car debt and he makes $5,000 a year. Let that one sink in. Always have your nets ready because you never know when God's going to show up on the scene. So why church planting? What does this have to do with church planting? What does this story of Peter giving up everything to follow Jesus, what does it have to do with church planting? I believe wholeheartedly that the local church is the hope of the world. There's no other way to put it. That the church that Jesus was trying to start with his disciples is the hope of the world. The church that we see today is the hope of the world. Which means what? That the Jesus we serve living in us makes us the hope of the world. Because you as in this building is not a church. You as in a follower of Jesus is the church. You're the hope of the world. You have the only answer for every question on earth right here. Hope. How many of you today could use some hope? I know there's a lot of areas in my life I need hope. There's a lot of things going on in my world, and I need hope. But how can we be the light and the hope for other people if we're not walking and growing in the hope of Jesus and living in us? One of the things that has become real to us as we have been praying through this adventure is what do things look like? How do we express what church really is? How do we understand? You know, I've never been a lead pastor. My wife's never been a pastor's wife. We've led college students. And if you're a college student, I'm not being disrespectful, but college students are the most flaky people on the face of the earth. It's like, yeah, I'm all in. Well, they don't show up to things. It's like, what happened? Oh, I had to play Xbox. Oh, I had this test that all of a sudden just showed up. It's like, you knew about that test 6 weeks ago. Well, you know, I love them to death. I love college students. But what do we know about this? And the truth is, we know nothing, which is why your pastor's in my life. Because I don't know. He's the expert. But what we do know is we know there's four stages to every walk of our faith. And they're going to be up on the screen, I think, next. That for every one of us, we find ourselves in one of these stages. For every one of us, at some point in our life, we have needed hope. Imagine attending. Dream with me about a church that you can walk into wherever you're at. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's an emotional. Maybe it's a physical. Maybe you just need a friend. You see, that's the church that Jesus tried to create. He didn't try to create a place where there's legalism. He didn't try to create a place to where chairs were being reserved. He didn't try to create a place to where the lost felt out like they're outsiders. He created a place where the lost felt like they were loved. Because friends, it is impossible to love a God you can't see if you don't love the neighbor you do see. It is impossible. I'm going to say it again. To love a God you can't see if you don't love the neighbor he's put right in front of you. And you say, well, you know, Alex, I do love my neighbor. When's the last time you've invited them over for dinner? When's the last time they've dined at your dinner table? We had a family at our house, I believe it was last week or the week before. And there's a lot of sinful things that happen in our community. I love Lawrence, Kansas to death. It is my home. It's the place God's called me. I believe I'm going to retire there. It is my home. There are a lot of bad things that happen in our community. A lot of ungodly things happen in Lawrence. And it's not just because of the university, and it's not just because of the culture. But we had a family that's praying about being a part of our church. It's like, how do we have these difficult conversations? But what I'm going to propose to you is we as followers of Jesus spend too much time worrying about how we're going to talk and too little time worrying about how we're going to love. Because love is not just words, it's actions. It's most importantly actions. But what about a place where people can find hope for real life issues and actually have an opportunity to make a difference and to change? You know what? I'm in debt today, but in a year I don't have to be in debt. I may be struggling physically today, but in a year I don't have to struggle physically. I may have relational issues in my life with my husband, with my wife. I may not have friends, but in a year I could have that. You see, guys, that's what the community of Jesus is supposed to look like. If somebody walked in the back door today that needed a friend, would they find one? Because that's the hope they need, and the only way they're ever going to get experience the life change is if we become the feet to our own prayers. We have to do that. It's the days of like waiting for the person who's sitting in the row in front of us, because if they're sitting in the row in front of us, they're probably more spiritual than we are. It's not a spirituality issue. It's a we want to pray for God to do things in our life before we're willing to pray to God to do something for everybody else. Life change. What about purpose? You know, that is the number one question that college students ask. What's our purpose? What's our purpose? I think Jesus basically laid it out very simple for us. It's to do what? Love the Lord thy God as ourself. And what was number two? Love your neighbor. Which was what? Equal to the first. Our purpose is simple. Is to love everyone. And you say, well, what if we don't, what if I don't agree with their lifestyle choices? What if I don't agree with decisions they're making? Well, I'm here to tell you, and maybe this would be a great opportunity for you to understand, not everybody in this room probably agrees with everything you're doing. Church doesn't have to be a place where everybody agrees with everybody. You may be that guy who bought an $80,000 car on a $10,000 a year salary. I don't think anybody in here is going to say, hey, man, go do that again. All right? I mean, you don't have to agree to love. Love is simple. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's feeding someone. How in the world is it that we have more people in the church today than ever in the history of mankind, and yet hunger amongst children is still an issue in our world? It's because we as church people, I'm being honest, guys, I'm right with you, we get too carried away about the $80,000 a year cars. It's like, well, I got to fix up my basement today. But yet, if we really understood our purpose, that God has actually called us, as he did Peter, to give it all up. And that's going to look different in every situation, in every circumstance of your life. Today, that may mean just fasting a meal. Tomorrow, that may mean giving up a coffee. I was going to say Starbucks, but I don't think there's a Starbucks in Meriden. But when we go through this process of hope, and then we make a life change, we start discovering our purpose. Then, friends, God starts to do things in us, which means he's going to start doing things through us. But most of us, as if we were honest, we get caught right here. And we get stuck. Because maybe we were the biggest alcoholic in the town. Maybe we wanted nothing to do with God for years. And we've experienced the hope. And we've found the life change. And we get stuck because we're like, okay, now what do I do? The reality is, now that you're not the biggest alcoholic, there's probably somebody else who took that title. And they need you. But if we never get to the point of actually discovering that God wants to do things through us, that he's helped bring us through, we're never going to be able to do our last thing, which is start reaching our community, which is where Jesus was trying to get the disciples all along. Because if we get stuck in one of these three areas, and we never make it to the fourth, then really we're just a bunch of people who get together once or twice a week. Who in heaven we're going to get there, and my greatest fear in life is this, that I get to heaven and God says, well, Alex, you did enough to get yourself here. I want God to be able to look me in the eye and just say, well done. I don't want it to be just an under the breath kind of a well done. When I leave this earth, in whatever capacity that is, I want to look God straight in the face and for him to know I gave everything that I had. That I tried to emulate Peter to the point that I gave up the greatest catch of my life. Reach our community. Why Lawrence? How many of you, is there anybody here not been to Lawrence? No, most everybody's been. My son's raising his hand. He lives there. Yeah, I can tell you who the resident comedian is in our home. Can you tell? Most people don't understand and realize and grasp just how lost Lawrence really is. But this quote is something I read in a book by Andy Stanley right as we were praying about this, is to be light in an environment where light is not appreciated. How many of you feel that that's like your life right there? It's like I'm working in a place that light is not appreciated. Friends, that's where we live. And for some people, that scares them away. It's like, no, for some followers of Jesus, it's very difficult for them to remain a follower of Jesus if they're not completely surrounded by other followers of Jesus. And you have to know that. Some people, that's where they're at in their walk. For Brooke and I, we absolutely love living in a community that majority doesn't follow Jesus. It keeps things interesting. It keeps your faith growing. And the reason why our community is that way is, and you can go to the next slide. 62% of our community has no affiliation with any religion. 72% of them have no church to attend. So today, let me put that in a numerical perspective for you. 76,000 people today, right now, are sitting at home and not attending church. How big is Meriden? Just out of curiosity. 800. Almost 10 times the size of this community is not attending church today. So you ask why Lawrence? I say why not Lawrence? Because even if we can plant a church that we could do a 10% impact, and we could bring that number down from 72% to 62%, heaven just got increased by 7,000 people. You see, for us to raise up more missionaries, we need more churches. For us to reach new people, we need more churches. For us to love other people, we need more churches. And I'm not talking about church buildings. Please do not confuse that. I'm talking about people who were growing in their faith, who were growing in their relationships with Jesus, and growing in their relationships with the people that they actually attend church with. Because there is a difference between being an attender of church and someone being the church. You know, there's a time in everyone's life where we have those Peter-like experiences. Where God says, look, here's the need. Here's the need. What are you going to do about it? And maybe today you find yourself in here and you've never had that crossroads before. Maybe today you find yourself in this room and that's never been something that you've ever had to face. But I'm here to tell you, friend, if you actually start growing in your relationship with Jesus, obedience will become something that is required of you for you to continue to grow. And yes, ultimately, truth is, you can get to heaven and just maintain the status quo. As long as you maintain your relationship with Jesus and as long as you continue to grow in your faith. But the reality is, are you really going to be able to grow in your faith if you don't actually reach out to those who aren't of the faith? Because I don't know that they can simultaneously coexist. Because the more we get of Jesus, the more we get of Him, and the more we are getting input from Scripture and from prayer and from people in your lives who are pouring into you, the more that stuff starts just naturally pouring out because it has nowhere else to go but out. But some of us get so caught up in trying to figure out where God's going to use us, we don't actually let God use us right where we're at. I'm here to tell you today, your mission field is your work. It's your family. It's the places you hang out. It's the places you walk. If you live in Topeka, you live in Lawrence, you live in Perry, or you live in Meriden, wherever God has placed you, don't wait for an opportunity to go somewhere else. Start right where you're at. Peter had no idea what was on the horizon for him. When Jesus walked into his boat that day, do you think anywhere in his mind that he actually thought he was going to get a walk on water one day? Sometimes God asks us to be obedient when we have no idea what the outcome. And most times I would say that's primarily how it usually works. Because if we knew A and Z, we probably wouldn't be as faithful in the middle. Because that faith aspect, that aspect of God actually ordaining your steps and guiding you and you letting Him have, here's the word, have the control to do it. Friends, I believe God's got a great plan for my city. I believe God is going to flip upside down the spiritual atmosphere of Lawrence, Kansas. I believe He can do it. I've been called crazy. And that's okay. I'm good with crazy. There's a lot of worse words that could be used about me too. I mean, I've been called a lot worse. But I believe God can flip upside down the spiritual atmosphere of your family, of your work, of your home, of your life, if you will let Him. It's all up to us. So today, we're going to give everyone one of these cards, and this is how we will close this morning. Everybody's going to get one of these cards. And they're really not cards, they're stickers. How many of you love wearing name tags? I find it incredibly awkward. Because you walk up to somebody and you're just like, we just got done with district council and we all had name tags on and nobody looked eye to eye. We're all looking down. It's like, because you don't want to be that guy who forgets the name of the person who remembers your name, right? You know what I mean? You don't want to be that person. But as we were praying and we started fundraising and trying to plant this church and get the finances together, this is something God, I believe, led Brooke and I to. And see, these are names. Not just randomly thought up, pulled off the internet. These are names of people who actually live in Lawrence. Because this church plan isn't about Alex and Brooke. It's not about our three kids. It's not even about the people who are showing up tonight, because everybody who's coming tonight are all followers of Jesus. It's about the people who don't know Jesus, who have yet to have an opportunity to say yes or to say no. So today you're going to get one of these. I'm going to ask you to keep it in your Bible, because this is a real person. This is a real name. This is a real face. This is a real soul. This is somebody who matters to Jesus. This isn't just a prayer card. It's not just a, yeah, remember us and yes, please pray for us. I don't want that to sound like a total afterthought, but we need it. But if we could understand that everybody, every empty chair in this room is somebody to Jesus, there is a face, there is a name, there is a soul that belongs right here. Maybe you're sitting in a row full of empty chairs. God has people. He wants to sit right next to you, and he's asking you to go reach them. So today you're going to get one of these. And I think the ushers are going to come grab a handful, and then we're going to close. We're going to pray for the card that you get. But while they're doing that, I'm going to have your attention here. I want to tell you about the two that I have in my name. This week, with being a church plant, one of the things we'll be doing is we will be setting up and tearing down every Sunday. They call them portable church plants. So what you see and you get to come to every Sunday, we set up and create every Sunday. Early on in the process, my wife and I felt very strongly that God was positioning and asking us to plant in a school. It's a school that's a block away from our house. It's something that we have began to get favor from. And this one is always with me. This is the principal of our school. His name's Howard Dykin. And I'm going to ask, especially this week, that you guys, I know you don't have that, but this week we are meeting with them to talk with them about leasing the school. And if you've ever been a part of anything that you have to ask somebody to lease space that's never been done before, it can be an interesting conversation to have. But that leads me to our second one. We've already talked with them, and our church is an official sponsor, and we partner with, Brooke and I both work, we have a food bank at the school we're wanting to launch out of. And have you ever had conversations with people and it's just like totally revolutionized your thinking? We met with the principal here about 3 months ago and found out that 40% of the students who attend the elementary school live underneath the poverty line. And I think it was 25% only have one meal a day. That's 20 miles down the road. We hear those statistics in foreign countries and we're like, what in the world? That is right here. You see, we had no idea that the hope that we were going to be able to bring was in this shape. But here's the lady who started the food bank a year ago. We got to spend a couple hours with her about 3 weeks ago and ask how we could just serve her. How can we be involved to help you? Through tears, this lady said, I've been asking churches for 6 months to help me feed kids, and every single one of them said no. Friends, that is not a critique. That is an opportunity that God has positioned us for. And if you walk out of here saying, wow, that guy was critical of other churches, you missed my heart. Because there is a time and a place where God's going to, as you step out, as he did for Peter, and you're obedient, God's going to give you favor and opportunity like you never dreamed. This lady's husband is one of the premier doctors in Lawrence and Topeka. They need Jesus. You see, we've been able to spend lots of time with her in the last several weeks, and her heart is to feed hungry kids. These are two very influential people. But today you have a card in front of you. And I don't know the name on it. Some of them, the names our kids wrote. They're our kids' classmates, our kids' friends. They're Brooke and I's friends. They're people we come into contact with. But today I want you to take it. I want you everybody to hold it out. And I want you to look at that name. And I want you to picture this face. Maybe this person is, and it needs all the hope in the world. Maybe they are that alcoholic. Maybe they're that drug addict. Maybe they're that mother or that dad who has lost kids. Maybe they are the lost kid. And today we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask specifically, you call this name out, that God would provide and open a door for us to have opportunity in our church to be able to have a relationship with them. Would you pray with us? God, today, Lord, for Howard and for Aline. God, I don't know where they're at in their walk, even if they have a relationship with you. But God, I pray right now. God, you give us opportunity. Lord, you give us favor. Lord, you keep orchestrating our steps, God, as you continue to open the doors. God, do a work in their life. Lord, I pray for financial outpouring. Lord, I pray for financial blessing. Lord, I pray for their kids, for their spouses, for their moms and their dads, their grandparents, for their grandchildren. God, I pray, God, you just bless them. Lord, for whatever name my friends have here, God, I pray opportunity. Lord, as we have been obedient, and God, we will continue to be obedient. Lord, keep giving us favor. Lord, I pray for this church. That God, maybe, just as it happened just a month ago, for a lady, she ended up getting her ex-husband's name. And the person she came to church with, Lord, that person got her stepdaughter's name, who she has no relationship with. God, maybe that's the, maybe today they got somebody, they got a name of somebody they need to reach out to. That God, it's not just about Lawrence. Lord, it's not just what you're doing there, God, it's about what you're doing everywhere. Lord, these are faces, these are names, these are people that you desire to have relationship with, which means you desire for us to have relationship with. God, burn their images, burn their names into our heart. But God, even more than that, give us, God, put them in our paths this week. In your name we pray. Amen. So today you're going to have just a few opportunities, and I wanted to share that it is incredibly expensive to plant a church. I don't hide that. I don't walk away from that. But the most important thing, and I don't say this in vain, is we need your prayers. Lawrence is a tough place. Lawrence is a very difficult place, but it's a place Jesus wants to reign too. Pray with us. Please pray for us. Take this card. Take this name tag. Pray for them. But you're going to have the opportunity to give it an offering in a few moments. It's going to take $165,000 for us to get our church off the ground. Currently, we've raised just about half of that. Today, you have the opportunity to make an investment into the kingdom. This is an investment into Alex and Brooke. This is an investment into lost people. People who don't know Jesus. The name in front of you is the opportunity. Because you never know when we're going to be able to not just have relationship with the principal, but we're going to be able to witness to the principal. But we have to get there to be able to have that opportunity. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to come. It was a pleasure to be with you guys, and we look forward to chatting with you after service.